I'm fascinated now. I put out that giant poll and jet poll on the worst coach the last four coaches each team had since Coughlin left and in the Jets' case since Rex left. And it really was a runaway that Joe Judge is the worst for the Giants and Adam Gase is the worst for the Jets. I almost feel like tomorrow we should have the Super Bowl of bad coaches and pit them one on one. Adam Gase versus Joe Judge in a poll of the worst. Because they both had 2 years here. They both alienated their fans. And I don't know if the Jet fan and the Giant fan would almost take pride in their guy and actually campaign. No, no, no. My guy's worse. No, 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 no. My guy is worse. Your initial reaction to that, Sean, would be to defend your guy or go the other way?
You know, I can't do this without asking, would Adam Gase have been a worse head coach with Dave Gettleman as his GM, though? So that sways me to its Gase.
You always have to make things complicated.
I know,
don't you?
I know. But that guy, the context matters. I actually think X's and O's wise, Joe Judge is probably a worse head coach.
Tiki, who is a worse head coach in their 2 years respective being here, Adam Gase or Joe Judge?
I think Adam Gase.
There you go.
Yeah. It's close, though.
I mean, you forget the Judge had some enthusiasm about himself when he first started.
Well, he won the press conference.
Without a doubt, won the press conference.
Adam Gase took a turd in the press conference.
Right, but then also crushed training camp.
Right.
Remember, he's diving in the mud or doing all this stupid, like, old backyard kid football types. It felt awesome. And then he kind of felt okay about his first season, even though it was not really that successful. And then just the rails fell off. And it felt like implosion, like an internal implosion started happening within the organization. And it just was untenable. And then, obviously, because Gettleman and him didn't see eye to eye and Gettleman was out, it just fell apart for him very quickly.
And remember, Adam Gase, Jet teams lost to a Dolphin team that was trying to lose.
Yes.
They somehow lost that game. They lost to, what was it, an 0-11 Bengal team, Evan.
Yes.
You had the
I remember.
Bro,
yes.
Adam freaking Gase. And then you had, obviously, the IC Ghost game. And Adam Gase, on a weekly basis, would quit. Where Joe Judge quit once, Gase would quit on a weekly basis.
I don't think it's particularly close.
It's Gase.
It's clearly Adam Gase. Yeah. Adam Gase is the worst head coach in the history of New York sports.
Right. And he also admitted about failing his quarterback.
That's right. That's right.
That was I remember when he said it, it was almost like, are you trying to get yourself fired?
but you know what makes me break the tie? Peyton Manning still vouched for Adam Gase.
Oh, stop it. Because he made a mean coffee for him. Come on now. The reason Adam Gase is the worst of all time.
What did he actually do for Peyton Manning?
Made him coffee.
I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning at that point went up to Denver. John Fox was the head coach. He was like, Foxy, you're a really good defensive coordinator. I got this on offense. Hire whoever the hell you want. It doesn't matter. I'm running it. And even if he puts in a system, I'm changing it at the line of scrimmage.
Exactly.
So it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
So he got his reputation off Peyton Manning. It was for maybe literally getting his coffee.
Exactly.
And no, you're right, Tiki. I was just trying to piss off Evan.
It doesn't even piss me off anymore because this is a victory for the Jets. We have the worst coach of all time. And the reason why, and this is what makes him unique for anyone who says Ray Hanley or anyone else they want to bring up. No person in the history of this town was already a loser that we decided stunk before they were even hired. I'll never forget those Joe and Evan shows. We were killing him before he was hired.
What did he do in I don't remember the Miami tenure. Like I remember it ended because he just fell apart and he couldn't hold on to coaches and stuff, but like why was he even considered one of the top head coaches?
Because
available?
Christopher Johnson said, and I quote, "He's coaching where offense is going."
No.
That's what he said.
No. No, he wasn't.
I know!
Kyle Shanahan was. Anybody associated with Kyle Shanahan, that's who you should hire.
I know!
And probably still to this day.
I'm not. It's better than Adam Gase.
It's who you should look to hire.
That is why in the Super Bowl of bad coaches, we win. Mm. Simple as that. Now let me get to the owner of the New York Mets, Steve Cohen, who decided that August 12th, the exact 1 month anniversary of his last social media post, would be his time to speak to Met fans.
You think he's doing this once a month? You think that's intentional? Or you think that was just coincidental?
No, there's a reason why he tweeted, and I will give you the exclusive reason.
Let's hear it.
First of all, the tweet, if you didn't see it, occurred 6 hours ago as the Mets are in the midst of this really tough stretch. They've lost 7 in a row. Cohen writes, "We haven't been playing well, but I still believe in this team. I'll be at Citi Field the next 3 games rooting on the Mets, LGM. Or rooting the Mets on LGM." So let me tell you a story before I get to my theory. And it is a theory on why Steve Cohen decided to tweet.
Because this was we got this in the Met chat, and my response was, shouldn't he be at every game?
That is, yeah. Well, Steve goes to a lot of games. I'm not sure how many games he's been to. But earlier this year, before the season started, as a season ticket holder, we're given a list of benefits, like things that we can buy on a point system. So based on the amount of tickets you have, based on how much money you're spending, you have a certain amount of points. Now, I've got 4 tickets. I give them a lot of money. I got a lot of points.
Okay.
So, unfortunately, I waited to shop. I didn't do it right away. I waited a few weeks. I'm like, all right, let me shop. I'm a season ticket holder. Let me see what I can get. And so my kids are picking what they want. Spence is like, oh, my God, brunch with Mr. Met and Mrs. Met. And I'm thinking about what Tiki's thinking about. And Spence gets his brunch.
That dump truck.
Then there's the, hey, we could watch fireworks on the field. Jet's really pumped up about that. There's a barbecue with Mookie Wilson.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Really cool stuff. We get to the sexiest thing. Watch a Met game in Steve Cohen's suite. And I'm like, whoa. And my wife's like, do we have enough points? I said, we do. The problem was it was sold out. That was the number one thing people wanted.
Did that go like immediately?
I think it did. Right. And that's on me because I admit, I did not check right away. So I didn't do it. I forgot all about it. I got some free Met hats. I got Spence the brunch. Mm-hmm. Jet saw the fireworks. Like, everybody's happy. Really cool stuff.
Right. You got to hang out with Mr. Met.
And Mrs. Met. She was there too.
And Mrs. Met was there? Oh, she was there too. Say that.
So now you may say, why are you telling this story, Evan? Is this just random? No, it's not random. Tomorrow night is the Steve Cohen suite game. Steve Cohen is going to watch the Met game with a bunch of season ticket holders, and God bless them. I think the people that are going deserve it more than me. They'll have a better time. I'm not even bitter about it. Mm. But it makes me think that Cohen knew he was facing the music tomorrow with season ticket holders, so he said, let me at least eliminate the tweet question.
Yeah.
Let me just tweet something out about the team.
He also, given the opponent, it's a dicey one.
The Braves?
The Braves stink. Yeah. And they've been on a slide. What are they, 9 of the last 30 or something?
Well, they have won 3 in a row. They beat the Marlins a bunch.
True, but they were 6 of their last 20-something before then.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They've won 3 in a row, but they still haven't won double-digit games in a long time. And so if the Mets somehow continue this slide against the Braves, who are your nemesis, you couldn't beat them in the beginning of the season. If you can't beat them now when they are completely out of it and you're desperate to win, Steve Cohen is going to face a lot of what in that suite?
Well,
it's a question, not a determining statement.
So
what's he going to face?
So I'll answer this by saying, let's say I was in the suite. Let's say I clicked it 2 weeks earlier.
And you're there.
And I'm there.
And they lose to the Braves.
Okay. I'm not mad at Steve Cohen. Like, Steve Cohen has done everything I pretty much wanted. He has invested in this team. They signed Juan Soto. They were the highest bidder for him. He has enabled his baseball people to make baseball decisions.
Right.
Like, I'm not mad at the owner.
So who are you mad at?
I'm mad at the players. Like, sometimes it's pretty basic, but that's who I'm mad at. I'm mad at the players. I'm mad at the underachieving. I'm mad at Lindor, who hasn't done anything in 2 months. I'm mad at the starting pitching that can't go 5 innings. Mm. I'm mad at the offense in general. I'm mad at, even though Juan has been hot lately, Juan Soto has not had the impactful season I was hoping for.
Juan Solo.
It's one of those things where, and I can't speak for every Met fan, I certainly can't speak for the people in the suite with Steve, I'm not mad at Steve Cohen because what would I be mad at Steve Cohen for? Like, ask yourself that question. Mm. Now, does Steve Cohen have to tweet? I think what he does is, it's kind of like what Tommy says when Tommy's like, well, I didn't watch the Met games, but I felt an obligation to not skip the podium. I think Cohen knows, all right, a month ago I'm tweeting how good things are.
Right.
I have to be, I can't just disappear.
Right.
Well, so I feel like he almost has like this, well, I got to say something. Can't skip the podium.
He also probably has the fan support because he's hired the right president of baseball operations, right? He's got the right GM. Correct?
I think so.
He's got the right manager in Carlos Mendoza. Correct?
I think so.
So the things that are right under his control, his purview, so to speak, he's done well. He's done right.
Do you think Met fans agree with that?
I think most fans will say David Stearns was the right hire.
Well, you're right about that, but I did a little science experiment.
Okay.
After Steve Cohen decided to tweet positively today, I decided to read his mentions just to see what people are saying. They're not positive.
Do they already hate David Stearns?
I'm going to read you what they wrote. These are like the first eight messages in response to Steve Cohen.
They
saying,
already
hey,
hate Carlos Mendoza?
I didn't say
after going to the NLCS a year ago?
I didn't say any of that.
Out of nowhere?
I'm going to read it to you. I didn't say any of that. I'll let you decide.
Okay.
You're the owner of the team. We all wish we had the power you have, and all you do is sit back and tweet like a fan. Go back to bed, old man. That's tweet number one.
That's harsh.
Number two. Your team is ass. Just accept it. Also, I got more money than you. This guy writes, the phrase hope is not a strategy was popularized by Steve Cohen, the owner of the Mets, in the context of the team's performance and future outlook. He used the phrase to emphasize that relying solely on hope for success is insufficient. So it was someone using Steve's words back at him.
Can I get a positive comment?
I'm just reading them in order. I'm not going positive or negative.
So this is the first eight.
This is the first bunch, yeah.
Okay.
Tweeting like a fan and not an owner. Make a change. Next tweet.
But why?
I'm just... You're mad at me for it. I didn't tweet these things.
Keep going. I'm just commenting. I'm postscripting each one of these things.
Fire Eric Chavez, buddy. I hope you would be there. LGM, time to turn it around.
That's a positive one.
I hope you get to see competent baseball, Uncle Steve.
That's a good one, too.
It's going to be an agita-filled series regardless. F you. Jeez. And by the way, that guy's Twitter handle is Alonzo is King. So it's not someone.
No, he's not. It's Aaron Judge, but thanks for trying.
The next guy writes, save us, Steve.
That's kind of like we're looking to you for encouragement, support, whatever. That's not bad.
Fire Chavez.
Why is Eric Chavez taking the brunt of the incompetence of the players?
Because people like to blame coaches when you can't blame every player. And finally, and this one was probably the most impactful, more importantly than the way the team's playing, why are there still bathrooms without urinal dividers in the ballpark?
Steve Cohen may be reading some mentions. There is breaking Met news.
Uh-oh.
The manager of the New York Mets gives it to us.
Have you guys made a decision on Frankie yet?
Yeah, he's going to go to the bullpen. We had that conversation today.
Oh, wow.
He's going to throw his sigh, and then the first day that he will be available is Thursday.
Do you have a starter yet for his
No. It'll be on Saturday, but we're still having the discussion who that next guy that's going to take the baseball there.
Was it possible somebody would be called up from AAA?
It's possible. Okay. Yeah.
It's possible?
God, I kind of love Carlos Mendoza. Because he don't mess around.
No.
And tell us about the struggle with Frankie Montas. Yeah, he's going to the bullpen.
And Mike Puma did follow this by tweeting that he has heard McLean is ahead of Sprout to be called up.
Right. Sprout.
Now. Sprout, I'm sorry.
Well, it better be no. McLean or Sprout. I mean, this cannot be Brandon Waddell. I'm just telling you right now. You cannot give
ready.
Us. Now, Jonathan just got promoted to AAA. It's not going to be him.
Right.
It cannot be another one of those bullpen game disasters. It needs to be a stud.
So wait, if I heard that right, he's going to start when?
No, Frankie Montas?
No, Saturday is where this turn in the rotation will come up.
He's going to the bullpen now.
Yeah, Thursday is when Montas is available out of the pen. And
I
then
got it.
Paul Blackburn will pitch again for Syracuse. He is not an option for Saturday, so it's clearly trending towards one of the kids.
It's got to be one of the kids. Boy, this is going to be an uncomfortable conversation because I would love to be in the building for Nolan McLean's Major League debut, and I'm going to be in North Carolina. Mm. I wonder how my wife takes the whole, hey, I'll fly back and then fly back again. You think she'll be pissed off at me?
Yeah. Definitely.
I'm just kidding.
Definitely.
I would not even try to pull that.
Just watch it on TV. Yeah.
That is one of the positive things of the David Stern era, what you just heard. And that is the word accountability.
Well, and it's mostly the deliverer is Carlos Mendoza. And the one thing I appreciate, and David Stearns does, he shows up most regularly too, but Carlos Mendoza doesn't beat around the bush. He's not trying to trick you. He's not trying to say, well, you know, we're going to make a decision. You guys will see in a couple days. Like, he doesn't do that. He just tells you exactly what's going to occur.
Yeah, but the most important thing out of this is that Frankie Montas was given $17 million a year, and despite only making, I think it's 8 starts now, the Mets said it's not good enough. Right. You're out of the rotation. And lot of teams, including this franchise, wouldn't have done that in the past.
Right, cut bait.
Yeah, and they did that last year. Now, it was on a smaller scale, but the examples were Joey Wendell, who they DFA'd, Adrian Houser, who clearly has turned his career around this season, but remember the Mets sent him to the bullpen. Mm-hmm. They didn't mess around. So I'm not surprised because they did show us they have that track record. I'm glad they're doing it. I'm glad we're going to see one of the kids, even if it isn't officially announced, but it certainly seems like Nolan McLean will get that call Saturday against Seattle, and it's about damn time.
Right.
And so,
Who else would it be other than one of the kids? There's no one else, right?
Well, Paul Blackburn, who Sean mentioned.
But he said he's pitching Thursday, correct?
He is pitching. No, Montas is available out of the pen Thursday. Blackburn's about to start AAA. I don't know what date, but he's not available.
He's not available.
And it shouldn't be him. Like, Blackburn is probably not even going to be on this team. It certainly sounded when David Stearns met the media last week that.
But I'm asking because I feel like Met fans want to see one of the kids.
It better be.
And so it better be one of the kids. But who else would it be?
No, I just told you, Brandon Waddell. Or Paul Blackburn.
So it's not Blackburn, so it's not going to be Waddell. So
or Justin Hagenman, who's currently on the team. Mm-hmm. Like, they can't do that again. They've already done that. We saw that in the Yankee series. Enough of that. Enough of this opener garbage. It's got to be a kid who's ready, and Nolan McLean looks ready. Mm-hmm. Brandon Sproat looks ready. I know it was only in AA. Jonah Tong looks ready. I know they're not calling him up, but my point is it's got to be one of the young guys, and I'm confident it will be because I think the moment is now to see what you got. Remember, they're all top 50 prospects in the sport. It's not just a Met prospect they're hyping up to you. These are kids that have pitched really, really well. One question about Steve Cohen before we get to your calls. Mm-hmm. So I read his positive tweet.
Yep.
Can I take you back to August of 2021?
Okay.
Steve Cohen owns the team.
Yeah.
Can I read you a missive that he tweeted on August 18th, 2021? Mm-hmm. And I promise you, this was Steve Cohen. And I want you to tell me if you would have preferred this. Kind of proves to me that Steve Cohen listens to Tommy Lugo. Because Tommy in 2021 would have said, Tommy, can you tell us, like, it's negative Tommy, it's 2021, the Mets are collapsing. Give us, like, 10 seconds of what you probably would have sounded
like. This is just typical Mets. They've been a joke forever. They've never won anything in my entire lifetime. They never will.
Thank you. Now, Tommy, today, very similar to what Steve just tweeted. Here's Steve in 2021. I'm not kidding. It's hard to understand how professional hitters can be this unproductive. The best teams have a more disciplined approach. The slugging and OPS numbers don't lie.
And he is the owner at this point.
Do you guys remember that? When he just came out and
don't remember that at all.
Yes.
He's cloning you, Tommy. Are you Steve Cohen?
Have we ever been seen in the same place at the same time?
Is there an alter ego? Because that sounds exactly like you. Now, he sounds exactly like
Positive Tommy. There is one huge difference between Steve Cohen's positivity and Tommy's positivity. You know, Steve saying, we have been playing well. I believe in this team. Very Tommy. The next sentence is not Tommy. And I quote, I'll be at Citi Field the next 3 games.
Well, yeah, because he's a billionaire and someone's going to drive him to the game back and forth. I mean, it's like, you know.
I have extra tickets today. You in?
Well, I would, but I got so many things on the list here that I got to get to tonight, including watching the Met game.
I have extra tickets tomorrow.
You in? You know, tomorrow also doesn't work for me. I got to check on my schedule. I got to, you know, dinner with myself, which I can't cancel again. I got a few things going on, but I'll let you know. Maybe.
But
possibly.
The positivity of the same, the going to the game part.
Well, and
different.
Also. I don't know if we need to hear from him every day, but I never skip the podium, and he kind of like parachutes in and out.
Once a month.
He's running a different business, I think.
But we do get the same type of hate reaction tweets to the positivity, which I still don't understand from fans. It's like, we made the NLCS last year, and people are telling Steve Cohen to go take a nap.
What
kind of mentality is that?
What I am curious about is, as a Met fan, not you, because you're positive, would you rather that tweet I read from 2021, because he could do that right now. He could say, I cannot believe how unproductive this offense is. Would you rather that or we haven't been playing well, but I believe in the team, LGM?
No.
Like, what would you rather have?
I think you got to do the latter, the one he put out.
The positive one?
The positive one.
Okay.
because that negativity is already happening.
Yeah.
It's so spot on. It's dead on.
When he did
and
that.
If he said it, then it would show that he was frustrated and losing faith in his team.
Well, he did it in 2021, and guess how they responded? They didn't. They collapsed.
Of course.
They ended up finishing under 500. Let us go to Dennis in Oceanside. What's up, Dennis?
What's
up, Dennis?
Hello, Dennis. All right. Dennis is gone. He's actually on his way to Citi Field, so hopefully he's not in too much traffic. Let's go to Steve on Long Island. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Love your show.
Thank you.
Always enjoy it.
Appreciate it.
I just want to make a correction, though. You guys got one thing wrong. You were saying that the worst coach of all time, at least for the Jets, was Adam Gase. No. The worst coach of all time, without a doubt, is Rich Kotite.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Ironically enough, they both had 32 starts. Gase had 9 wins.
And Kotite had 4. I mean, he went 1-15 and 3-30. You know what the difference was in my mind? And maybe it's because I was young when they hired Richie Kotite. And there are some similarities. Like, he went from being a fired head coach into taking the Jet job. Is that I kind of looked at Kotite in 1995. And again, I was 11. So what did I know? And thought there was a chance there would be success.
Right.
Now, maybe I was too young and naive to know better. The thing about Gase that jumps out at me was that we knew it was going to suck before it even started. But obviously, in terms of wins and losses, it is very difficult to match 3-13, 1-15, and really how awful those post-game press conferences were with Richie Kotite. So, yeah. I mean, pound for pound, is he probably the worst coach in the history of sports in this town?
Of course.
It's certainly up there.
But we weren't really looking back that far.
Yeah, we were doing
We were kind of doing the last five coaches.
Post-Rex and post-Coughlin.
Yes.
And for any Giant fan that mocks comparing Rex to Coughlin, look, they had success under Rex. I was just saying.
Right, relatively.
Right.
It's all relative.
That's all. Scott's in Jackson, New Jersey. Hey, Scott.
How you doing, guys? Listen, I mean, I think I got to make a couple points here. First, again, you've heard me say this before. This is just not a mentally tough team. There's no strong leadership on this team. I think there is value in bringing Martinez in, even as an advisor. I think he had a good effect on a team. But I think the person who's getting a pass here, and let's forget about Juan Solo for a second, who has had very few meaningful RBIs this year, but is David Stearns. Let's be honest. He's messed up this pitching staff big time. He brought, in a year we're supposed to be going for it, he brings in a project with Clay Holmes to be the fourth starter. I mean, we knowing he's not going to be able to last the whole season in the lineup, he brings in Montas, who was a failure, and he lets Quintana go. How do you let Quintana go? And he's flourishing with a 3.5 ERA in Milwaukee. I don't understand any of it. I'll hang up and let you listen to hear you.
I think that the handling of the pitching staff is the fairest critique of David's offseason. Because even with Quintana, when they decided to let him go, if you recall, he was still out there.
Of course.
The Mets started having injuries in spring training. And I brought it up here on the show saying, hey, they got to go out and bring back Quintana.
Right. At least the devil you know.
And the tax on him was going to be high, but when you end up seeing what the Brewers ended up paying him, you never have enough pitching depth. And so I think the biggest mistake they made was not initially saying, hey, we believe in Frankie Montas, which has been a disaster, or we believe in the project of Clay Holmes. It's once they had a chance to bring Quintana back at this discounted amount, why didn't they bring him back?
Yeah, but it also goes to a philosophy that I think David Stearns is married to and likely will never come off of, which is paying for lots of or older arms, I should say, more veteran arms. He's not going to give the long-term deals that these guys are looking for. And so it kind of limited his choices. So if you have a philosophy that I'm not paying an 8-year deal to, say, Max Fried like the Yankees did, where are you going to find pitching?
No, I agree with that.
Unless you're developing it, which they are.
We'll see.
But we'll see. And also, how many, 30 games left in the season?
So right.
It's really hard to build a strong, solid pitching roster if you're not going to spend the money.
But okay, forget about Fried and forget about Corbin Burns, which obviously would have been a disaster based on the injury.
And by the way, I'm not disagreeing with his philosophy.
No, no.
I'm just saying, how else are you getting starting pitching?
Well, I want to go back to Quintana because that's my issue. He signed a 1-year, $4 million contract with the Brewers
right
in March.
Right.
Why don't they sign him? Yeah, but we talked about it here. Why don't they sign him?
Because you knew Quintana. You knew what his limitations were.
Well, his limitations? He'd be one of the best stars in the rotation right now.
You knew what his limitations were.
I know, but from a value standpoint, it didn't make sense. Once the injuries started happening in the spring and Quintana hadn't signed, even based on everything you said about not wanting to go long-term with starters, why didn't they bring him back when they had the chance?
No, they should have. I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing with
you on that. In my opinion, the biggest mistake he made, like, they saw something in Frankie Montas. So far, they're wrong. And the odds are they're going to be wrong because they've already given up this season.
But
they also got a great start from all of them. You know what I mean? The guys that were available. The starting pitching was what was carrying the Mets for the beginning of the season.
Because
it wasn't the sticks. And so if you're David Stearns, you're saying, wow, this mini gamble that I tried to pull off by not going to get another quality arm with Kodai Senga coming off injury, it worked.
Well,
like it worked.
But that's why
it fell apart.
But that's why I'm going through the specifics of where the mistakes were. They signed Griffin Canning. It was working for a while until he got hurt.
Yes.
David Peterson has been developed. He inherited him, but sure, he's developed into their most reliable starting pitcher. He brought back Sean Manaea, which so far hasn't worked based on injury and his ineffectiveness. He made the gamble on Montas, which they've admitted is a failure because they're moving him to the bullpen.
Right. A gamble on Clay Holmes.
Which has sort of worked at times.
I mean, it works, but it's not. It's just not a recipe for winning in Major League Baseball. Right now.
I disagree. If they were getting innings out of Senga and Manaea, it wouldn't be as big of a deal. No, it's a bigger deal because they don't get innings from anybody.
Just look at, we said this, we talked about this, or I don't think we brought it to air yet with the Yankees. It's amazing what happens when a starting pitcher goes 6+. It's just, it makes it so much easier to win some games.
No doubt.
And Clay Holmes, for at least a month and a half, has not been able to get to 6. He just hasn't.
I know, but my point is if other guys were, it wouldn't be as big of a deal.
Yeah, but you kind of knew Senga would struggle to do that.
I didn't know that. I mean, I questioned his ability to stay healthy, but Kodai Senga usually can give you 6 quality innings, sometimes even 7.
But he's been hurt a lot in the 2 years. So it's not something you were banking on. It wasn't like you were coming into the season and you had Garrett Cole as your ace.
No.
He's a bad example because he's hurt, but you know what I mean.
Sean Manaea. What did you think from him? I thought he'd go deeper into games. It's been a failure since coming off the IL.
But he was also on the IL.
No, I know, but my point is, I think Holmes would be more acceptable if other guys were going deeper into games. That's all I'm saying. Because I looked at him to begin with as a fourth or fifth starter.
Right.
So, to me, when you go through the mistakes of Stearns in building this rotation, if we're trying to be fair, and I'm trying, in the Holmes case, in the Canning case, and bringing back Manaea, the one thing that really bothered me was once they were facing injury concerns, why they didn't bring Quintana back at $2 million? Even with the Cohen tax, what's $2 million? Right. Or $4 million got. I think it was $2 million like average annual and then $2 million in a signing, but whatever it was, it wasn't a lot. But the reality is, this is their rotation. And I think they are capable of a lot more than the way they pitch. And now they're even more capable because not one kid is coming up. Like, someone has to come up to replace Montas. Sure, that's obvious. They need a second guy coming up. You want to know why? They're about to play a stretch with no off days for 16 straight games. They're going to need a 6th starter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be both guys, in my assessment. It better be both guys.
By the way, that's the other thing that I didn't even incorporate into this. With Kodai Senga in your rotation, you need 6 starters. So you were short to begin with, weren't you? I mean,
well, they thought they had depth. Tyler McGill, who's on his way back, got hurt. And that's another guy to keep an eye on. He's making his first rehab start, so it's possible Tyler McGill's back in the rotation in 3 weeks.
But he wasn't a guarantee.
No.
So, but to your point, you started this conversation 10 minutes ago saying this was a season where you're going for it. And this is what, maybe the caller said this.
It was the caller.
This is
he was ripping David Stearns.
This is the go for it season, and this was your plan. Right, you spend the money on Juan Soto. You, in theory, have a fantastic lineup, even though that hasn't proven to be the case, especially as of late. But even early, it wasn't the case. But you needed a starting rotation that was going to give you a chance. It felt like it at the beginning, but it was flawed from the beginning as well. You knew that. And so it is a rightful criticism of him.
Absolutely.
Not the whole thing, but because I think the sticks are on the players themselves. That's on them. But the rotation was just poorly thought out or poorly hoped to be thought out. Now, I think it can be fixed a little bit because these young kids coming up. But again, they're young kids.
Well, it's got to be fixed by Kodai Senga being better and Sean Manaea being better.
But do you trust that that's going to happen?
I still do, yeah. I'm not giving up on either guy.
All right.
I mean, I think the longer it goes, the more the concerns build for either guy. But
Evan, there's 30-something games left.
No, no, but Senga and Minaya are fresh off injured-less stints.
I'm talking about
them specifically. Right. Like, you're asking me, do I have faith that eventually they'll be the guys we thought and go deeper into games? Yeah. I haven't lost complete faith in them. Am I losing faith in the offense, considering right. they've been a mediocre offense the entire season? Well, right. it becomes more difficult believing. We'll get back to your calls in a second. 888-808-1019 and more on the Yankees' complete ownage of the Minnesota Twins, which continued tonight, and Aaron Boone looks to have continue today. You're just tuning in. A little piece of Met news as they get set to restart their season in the midst of a 7-game losing streak, and that's the fact that Frankie Montas is out of the Mets rotation.
Carlos
made that official by saying he's being moved to the bullpen. He'll be available in the bullpen by Thursday, and that coming up on Saturday, they're going to have to announce a starting pitcher. So will it be Nolan McClain? Will it be Brandon Sproat? It better be, because it cannot be another one of those Brandon Waddell, Justin Hagenman opener kind of things.
Right.
So my assumption, it'll be Nolan McClain. Both guys are in line to pitch on Saturday. McClain made his last start on Sunday. Sproat made his last start actually 5 days ago, so he'd have a lot of extra rest if they decide to pitch him. But both young guys at AAA have pitched incredibly well, and just the other day, David Stearns promoted a bunch of guys from AA to AAA.
Yeah, and so, with the idea that there are likely to be some guys that are moving from AAA to the Major League.
And my assumption is both guys are going to be up here.
Right.
I think Nolan McClain will likely start on Saturday, and I think on the next road trip the Mets have, they're about to embark on a stretch of games where they play every single day with no off days. And like you talked about with Senga needing extra rest, I think they will insert a sixth starter. I think it'll probably be Brandon Sproat. And we're going to get to find out if these kids can make a difference. And I was very disappointed.
It's a lot of pressure.
No pressure. By the way, I had this weird.
No biggie. It's all good.
I had a weird idea.
Easy.
Saturday is the day that they're looking for a starter. That's at Citi Field. That's a 4 o'clock game. It's Juan Soto bobblehead day. That's a lock of a sellout. 44,000 people, Citi Field. The next day.
By the way, you think any of them will do the double?
Say that one more time.
You think any of them will do the double? City to MetLife.
Oh, that's right. You could pull that off.
That'd be a dope double.
Dude, if I wasn't on vacation, I'd be pulling off that double.
Right.
I'd be all over that.
And it doesn't matter if you're a Jet or a Mets Jet fan or a Mets Giant fan. It's still the Giants.
Oh, game. Absolutely.
That's a hell of a double.
Yeah. Maybe I should cancel my vacation and try to pull this off. I wonder what my
wife
said.
You didn't plan well enough, Evan.
No, I didn't.
Well, you didn't look at the schedule.
Put it this way. I planned so far ahead, the Jet-Giant game was not announced when I planned this vacation.
Wasn't even on the schedule
yet. Wasn't even there yet. But the other option the Mets have is Sunday, they are not playing at Citi Field. They're playing at the Little League game in front of a bunch of kids. So would there be less pressure to have a young guy make his debut in front of 2,012-year-olds?
It'd be like he's showing off. So I'd be like, yeah, I'm the man. None of y'all know that I'm not the man. I'm just in a major league outfit. So, yeah, I'm the man.
Yeah.
Let me go dominate.
What makes me so sad is this is how old I am, how old you are, how old Sean is, how old Lugie is. Brandon Sproat or Nolan McClain is much closer in age to those little leaguers than he is to us.
How old are they?
The little leaguers are like 12 and 13.
No, how old are they?
I think McClain's like 22 or 23.
He's younger than my oldest son.
Doesn't that make you feel old?
What the hell?
Brandon Sproat is 24. Nolan McClain is 24. So they're both 24 years old.
Okay, so they're a little bit older than my oldest son.
You know what makes you really feel crazy? They were born in 2001.
I know.
2001. I will get your calls in a second, but your baseball IQ trivia question is presented.
Playing in a Super Bowl in 2001.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Nolan McClain wasn't born when you were playing in a Super Bowl. Damn. Your baseball IQ trivia question is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. During the Yankees-Twins in 2002, what inning did Jason Giambi hit his now famous walk-off grand slam in the rain? We'll take caller number 6 at 866-540-WFAN to answer your baseball IQ trivia question, and you could win a $250 American Express gift card. Your baseball IQ trivia question is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers and Cadillac's family of EVs, including all-electric Lyric. Joey is calling from Long Beach. What's up, Joey?
Hey, Evan and Cheeky, what's doing?
All's good, man.
What's up?
So I got an opinion and a theory.
Go ahead.
The opinion, all right, so my opinion is when we have an owner who's hard on fans to come fill the seats up, that owner, I think, also should be hard on the team, hard on the players who aren't performing or getting paid, you know, millions and millions of dollars. So that's my opinion. And so I would go with a tweet from 2021. But my, and you guys are the funnest. I love your show. So is my son. I just picked him off the bus. He's so happy that I'm on the phone.
Appreciate
with
you.
But my
what's
theory.
What's up, son? What's his name?
His name's AJ.
Hey, what's up, AJ? What's That's up, my AJ? Son's name.
Hello.
What's up, AJ?
What's up?
Are you a Mets fan, AJ?
Yes.
Are they going to turn the season around or is it over?
No.
Mets suck.
That's not
that
fair.
Sounded like over. Go ahead, Joey.
He says, who said the Mets suck? he had a long day. Well, okay, so I think that we don't get to see a lot of what happens inside, and maybe Peak is the only person who has any insight into this, but after Soto, you know, had this free agency, it may not be so clear inside who the leader is, mm-hmm. and I just feel like being, you know, maybe taking a harder stand on the team and the players, you know, shake things up. You don't have to throw the table over, but at least a tweet could maybe set something up to say, you know, Soto, maybe take a step forward. He doesn't have to be that with the media, but just when they have team meetings.
Joey, I
love
think,
you guys.
I think, unfortunately, the only thing that allows a player who is new to the team and is getting to know the organization, the only thing that allows him to take that step is time. Because Juan Soto, and we had this conversation at the beginning of the season, nowhere he's been has he had to be the man, right? The guy. He wasn't it with the Yankees. That was Aaron Judge. He wasn't it in San Diego. That was Manny Machado. It wasn't when he was in Washington. I forget who the vets were those years.
It wasn't Bryce. It was Anthony Rendon. It was Ryan Zimmerman, Max Scherzer, guys like that.
By the way, Zimmerman's a UVA guy. But he was too young, too. Like, right. He just never was that guy. Now, all of a sudden, he comes to the Mets. He's making $70-plus million a year. By default, you're the dude. But it takes time to like step into that role. And I think the Juan Soto hate is so premature because eventually he will. It's just it just takes time.
He's not a leader, and that's okay.
Right.
I don't know if Mike Piazza was ever a leader. Mm. Like, it's okay.
But he was an example.
He was a great player who, yes,
he was an example leader.
Yeah.
Juan Soto's not even the example leader.
I disagree with that. The reason I still think he would be an example leader, from what I'm told, because I'm out in the mm-hmm. locker room, is that he is one of the hardest working guys in all of baseball.
Yeah, but you know, baseball, Evan, it's all about production. It's like, it doesn't matter if you work really hard.
Well, he's going to produce then.
I think everybody works really hard.
Not to the levels of certain players. I think everyone works hard to a degree, but then there are others who are Kobe.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But then it has to translate. Like, you have to come
through. So what are you saying? That Juan Soto has to produce more for him to be a leader?
No, I'm just saying it will naturally happen when he does produce more.
Yeah, in terms of
that takes time.
Well, in terms of following him, sure, but he's never going to be a leader. He's not Keith Hernandez. He's not Gary Carter. He's not that kind of personality, and that's okay. They don't have to be.
You know, he's not now. He's still also 26 years old or 27 years old.
You may be right. Like 5 years from now, I guess his personality could change. But the track record has shown that's not the kind of guy he is.
It's just confidence. It's like knowing who you are and knowing how great you are and what the expectation is from every person in that clubhouse.
Yeah, but I think he can. I think he is that. I'm not worried about that. Mm-hmm. I just don't think he's the rah-rah leader guy. Like, we heard the story about Lindor earlier in the year.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about rah-rah leader. Because
what are you talking about?
I'm never
producing. What's the issue?
So you should go out every day. It's baseball's tough because it's every single day, but your teammates know what they're getting from you, and that's not rah rah. That's just you're getting the best of me every single day.
I think you got that though from him, even if his lack of production with runners and scoring positions.
You haven't gotten that though.
In terms of just competing every day and being
just
productive,
like being the guy in the clutch situation, I'm making the play.
Yeah, the clutch he has not. Yes.
Right? So, but you don't have to be rah-rah for that.
I got you.
I was never a rah-rah guy. But to a man, everybody on my team knew that on Sunday, you knew what you were getting.
Right.
Right? That's what I'm talking about. And I didn't know that early in my career. I didn't know it even in 2000, the year we went to the Super Bowl. But as I got into 2002 and 3 and 4, it's like, I knew I was great. And I knew what was expected of me. And so, if I didn't produce, then I felt like I let my team down. And it takes time to evolve into that. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Juan Soto. I'm just saying there's an expectation with comes because of how much money he's making.
Yeah, yeah, he's
and
got
there's an expectation that comes for how much because of how great he's supposed to be. But to be a leader, you got to do it all the time, and to the point where they just believe that it's going to happen, even if it doesn't. Your teammates believe. Oh, Juan Soto's hitting a home run here. Oh, Juan Soto's getting a base hit here. Got two guys in scoring position. We got to get him around. Juan Soto's getting that shot. I don't think that's there yet. When it happens, we'll see it. Like, you'll feel it.
Yeah.
And it just hasn't happened yet.
No.
It takes time.
He's had a very odd year because his overall production, you look at his numbers, they're good.
Of course.
Totally fine.
Of course.
But you watch him every day. He has not had the impact we've all hoped
for. That's right.
That has not happened yet. Dennis in Oceanside. Hey, Dennis.
Hi, how you doing? So I'm on my way to Citi Field, and I've been a Mets fan since 1962 when my dad took me to the very first Met game in the Polo Grounds, and then when Shea Stadium opened, he took me to the first game after that, and I returned the favor with my son, Charlie, when Citi Field opened up.
Nice.
And I don't boo the team, and I'm going out there tonight, section 323. Evan, you know where that is?
Yeah.
And I'm going to be cheering them on. I'm not going to boo them. And I have a little history lesson for anyone who's listening. 1969, you guys can look it up. It was either August 11th or 12th. The Mets fell 11.5 games behind the Chicago Cubs. They roared back, and they won the division going away. So it can happen. Let's go Mets, and let's root for this team.
It can happen. They're 6 games behind the Phillies. It can happen. The question is, will it happen? The question is, that 69 team didn't lose from late August and September. And he's right. It was never even a pennant race. They blew right past Chicago.
Right.
So the question you got to ask yourself is, can this Met team, who's been a mediocre team since April and a bad team since mid-June, can they now, over their final, they've played 118 games. How many left do they have?
44.
Can they go out and go 30-14? Mm-hmm. Can they do that? Because, by the way, if they go 30-14, they win 93 games. And maybe that's enough to win the division. I can't even say it's a guarantee.
Right.
But that's, to me, unless you think the Phillies are just going to fall off and they've been hot lately, that's what it's going to take. And is this team capable of it? It is. I'd be the first to tell you. They got a lot of talent. The question is, are they going to do it? One other thing. Sean.
Yes, Evan.
It may not be us. It may not be us. Mm. So for weeks, we have said that famous day where Tiki was off, and Sean and I opened up the show on June 13th, 2025, debating who's the best team in New York. Actually, you weren't off. Tommy was off. My apologies. Yes. You were here.
Yes, you guys debated it.
You arbitrated it.
I kind of made it happen.
You kind of made it happen. But if I'm not mistaken, and
made you guys debate it.
But if I'm not mistaken, that same day.
It is my fault.
That caused us to debate that. Tiki's fault. The Mets and Yankees have sucked since then. Was also the day that Brandon Tierney offered young Jet Roberts $100 to say,
oh, that's right.
Mets suck.
And he did.
Whoa, that was Mets suck day?
So is it possible my son talked into existence courtesy of a bribe from BT?
No chance!
The Mets actually sucking? Is that possible?
Wow. It could be, but if you're putting this on Brandon Tierney,
is it on BT or is it on Jet? I mean, I didn't say it's Brandon's fault. Maybe Jet's fault.
I mean, you got to be responsible for what you say, even if someone pays you to say it.
But a kid's vulnerable, man.
It's vulnerable. You got to learn the lesson at some point.
So it's Jet's fault or BT's fault?
I'm going BT's fault, but because of this
narrative. It's not BT's fault. Jet said it.
Just take the L. Tiki, I messed up.
I promise you there's a payoff.
Okay.
If it is BT's fault, we may have reversed the curse today. Both teams are playing home games. Many of you are in the car heading to each of these games right now. Evan Roberts, turn your head up to the right and tell me what is missing.
Brandon Tierney's pants.
Come on, give it to me.
Brandon Tierney's pants have hung in this studio for a long time during this stretch.
It has, oddly enough.
Today, the pants have been removed from the studio.
Thank God.
If Brandon started this mess by paying Jet Roberts, maybe by removing his pants from the studio, today is the day the baseball season changes in New York.
Okay. I'll sign for it. Please.
At least to get Jet off the hook.
Yeah, seriously. Because it hit me the other day. We've played that little cut of Jet's thing, and I'm like, what was that day again? And I was going back into the archives, and I'm pretty sure it was the same day.
Mets suck.
June 13th. You were here that day, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Tommy wasn't, so Tommy escaped the culpability. But you guys had the debate, which I kind of precipitated. And it's kind of just been terrible since.
It's been awful. But here's the good news. This is the sense of hope we have. Mm-hmm. The Mets are capable of now going out and just winning every day.
Right.
And if they can do that, can they erase a six-game deficit? Absolutely. Am I confident of that? No.
We are beyond f***.
We'll get back to your calls coming up, 888-808-1019. More on the Yankee lineup tonight against Minnesota. And the Mets, like we've talked about, trying to change their fortunes against Atlanta.